And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 164. My name is Tom Harris, coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where we don't have a Rainbow Bridge, but we do have the Skyway Bridge, which goes to Indiana. So is that close? No, not really. But anyway, and you have to pay a toll, too. And, you know, Heimdall's not standing in the middle of it. Well, if he was, he's not there anymore. Anyhow, it has been a beautiful last few days here. Yeah, we've started to have a little bit of fall weather now and get actually cooling down and not so hot and humid, and I'm really, really enjoying it. And it is getting me very much in the mood for my two-week vacation, which is coming up at the end of October. Yeah, we're going to have a couple weeks off from the show too, folks. And I'll be heading off another one of my globe-trotting trips and going to, as well as other places, to the Shetland Islands, which is something I'm really, really looking forward to, and been busy over the last weekend making all the plans, and, well, not all the plans, just some of the basic plans. Yeah, getting ready to go. And that, of course, that means that we won't be here for a couple weeks. But, you know, hey, hopefully you can be entertained by the photos when I get back, because I do intend to take as many photos as I can. So anyway, we do have an issue of Loki to cover, wrapping up the four issues by Rob Rohde and Esad Rebic, and we might as well just hop to it.
Cross the Rainbow Bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder,
Loki. Indeed, and this issue, Loki, number 4, has a cover date of November of 2004, which means it came out about 10 years ago this month, folks. It's a little bit of a coincidence, but it seems like almost 10 years to the day that I'm covering issue number 4. Retail price on the book was $3.50 or $5 in Canada. Cover art is by Esad Rebic and shows Thor triumphant. He's standing with his rather silly alternate helmet, and he's holding onto a bunch of chains in his right hand, which he's holding above his head in triumph, and holding Mjolnir in the other hand, and he's wearing these weird striped socks again. In the background, we have Loki's face, kind of ghostly Loki's face, and he's leaning over what looks to me like a rock. So it looks like he's about to take the big bite out of that rock, which, of course, that might explain why his teeth are, like, broken and stuff. Anyway, we open up to the splash page where we have a previously in Loki number 3. Return with us to Asgard of the Gleaming Spires, a celestial nexus bestrode by gods, now overturned and made anew. Such revolution was ever the aim of Loki, the trickster god and prince of lies. Once heir to far-off Jotunheim, land of the frost giants, Loki was taken from that defeated race by its conqueror, Odin Allfather, who made of him a foster son. But in every manly virtue Loki paled besides Odin's true son, Thor, god of thunder, who joined all the court in mockery and disdain of the fosterling. Now at last Loki is himself Allfather. Odin languishes in chains, as do all that did battle in his name. Such is Loki's vengeance for the murder of his father, Laufey, and for the misery of his own thwarted life thereafter. And yet, the fruits of this achievement are bitter on his tongue. His plots and schemes behind him, he finds he has no taste for the petty routine of rule. He is besieged on all sides by courtiers, ministers, supplicants, favor-seekers, and former allies seeking reward. He is accosted as well by Hela, goddess of the netherworld, who urges him to conclude his triumph by executing the thunder god. Yet there is more to pall his triumph. Balder the Brave and Carnilla, queen of the Norns, have given him disturbing evidence that it is not his destiny to rule. And he has learned as well that his way to evil was paved by Odin, the better to chart an opposite course for Thor. Now Loki, battered and defiant, confronts yet another unforeseen agent of fate, his natural mother, the frost giantess Farbauti. And we open up to the splash where we have the credits. Robert Rohde was the writer. Isad Rebic was the artist. Pettit and Gent were the letterers. John Misegase and Corey Settlemyer, assistant editors. I guess I finally got that right, but right, you know, I'm doing the last issue. Axel Alonso was the editor. Joe Quesada was the editor-in-chief. And Dan Buckley was the publisher. And we pick up right where we left off, where Farbauti has revealed herself in front of Loki and his guards, and we see that the guards are kind of pulling out their spears and getting ready to defend Loki if they need to, and there's other like Viking warrior type people kind of milling around, and she's approaching Loki, and Loki is aghast by the revelation. He's like, you say you are
your mother, Loki, Farbauti of Jotunheim, widow to that king Laufey who was your father.
I thought you dead.
No, my son, yet living, albeit in a state much reduced from that which I once knew.
This cannot be.
After Odin slew your father and most of our menfolk, his army of Asgard did retreat and leave us poor women behind to wail and lament. Long ago, long did we languish there under the boot of our oppressor, but never mind, says I. The time will come when my Loki will shew the tyrants of Asgard the mettle of a son of Jotunheim. True, when ye were born, your father was ashamed in ye, as ye were but wee and sickly. But I says to him, it is no to man's size that makes for his stature, and look at ye now, I was right, and more than righted. Long have I waited the day when my son would avenge his father's murder, but ne'er did I dream it would be in such a manner, as right lord of Asgard in himself.
And we get a kind of scenes here of what she was narrating. We have Laufey kind of running away from his son, who looks really toad-like and not like a real baby. I mean, his head unnaturally large. Another scene, very Frazetta-ish scene of people like guarding this castle, which I assume is the Frost Giant Kingdom. We get another full-page spread here of, well, not really full-page, but we get a little bit more of the story.
Since that day of infamy when Asgard felled the menfolk of Jotunheim, a new generation of warriors has grown up and took their place. They await but word of your will. Name ye the hour, and I will have them here to take the capital itself, and then all the nine worlds in your name.
And she reaches out and she pinches his cheek like he's a little kid.
Till such time, I, Farbauti, stand ready to take my place here as your mother and queen of all the gods.
And Loki gets this look on his face like he just ate something that didn't taste very good. And behind him, we have people whispering and kind of snickering. And Loki starts to turn around. He's got this really stern look, and they quiet themselves. They're not, you know, they don't want to be caught doing this. Loki decides to show Farbauti in and, you know, is guiding her into the palace.
It shall, of course, be as you say, mother. But let me first have you installed an accommodation suitable to your rank, where you may rest and refresh yourself after your long journey. Take her to some suite of rooms far, far from the court. See that she wants for nothing, but see to it as well that she goes nowhere. House arrest in all but name. Is this clear to you?
I guess Farbauti can't hear this.
Yes, my lord, says the guard.
And they go off, and Loki's looking back at the crowd, who I guess is snickering, and Loki's not real happy about that.
Let them snicker. They will find less amusement when I cut off their hero's head.
And so Loki then kind of goes back into the palace. And we get this beautiful page of Loki, and it's all in purple, which is really kind of interesting. And he's being accosted by all the people who need him or want him to do things for them.
My lord, if I may speak with you in a matter of some urgency.
My lord, I represent the Vanir, who have most pressing need of your ear.
Over here, my lord, the Ironmonger's Guild of Nidavellir wishes to go pay tribute and request certain assurances.
Lord Loki, Pray you grant audience to the much persecuted aesthetics of Gundersheim.
My lord, the refugees from Svartalfheim.
Spare a few moments from the envoy of the King of Jolena.
Your action required without delay. Contested timber rights in the forest of Sigurd.
And they just got this big crowd of people around Loki, and all of a sudden they realize he is gone. And they're like,
my lord, where?
He was here but a moment ago.
My lord, are you within hearing?
Do you see him? Is Lord Loki yet about?
And we see that Loki has turned invisible, and he's kind of creeping through the passageways, and the door opens and steps through and turns visible again.
Laufey's revenge. Can that be what I invoked mere hours agone? Odin's revenge, more like. Did the cursed All-Father know what he was about when he took me under his wing? Never was I allowed to forget that I was not an Asgardian born, and he's pouring himself like a horn of wine. Ever was I reminded that I was alien and inferior to the gods and heroes who flourish here. And yet, Odin must well have understood that by rearing me within his golden circle, he was rendering me forever discrepant to my own blood kin.
And he takes a big gulp of wine, just kind of dribbles down his chin, and he lays back in a chair and is kind of reclining and kind of moping here.
Her attire, her manner of speech, her breath like a stagnant pool of filth. What cruelty to bring up a son in such a manner that he can feel but disgust for his own mother. Petty chieftainess of a bovine people, does she represent all that has long driven me, that I have prized far above the shining spires of Asgard? In truth, I am neither Asgardian nor son of Jotunheim. I am Loki only, and I am alone.
Not so, my lord. Not while Daya is yet at hand.
And we have this concubine. Remember that the Norn Queen had sent him back. I think it was back in issue one. Has she been completely forgotten since issue one? It was issue one or issue two.
I bade you go, girl, diminished as I am. Yet I will consort with no minion of Carnilla.
The Norn Queen sent me hither. It is true, but I am not her minion. I am a concubine, my lord. I was given to the guild as a child, and schooled for many years in the ways of service and solace.
And this, she's coming on to Loki and kind of hugging him and caressing him and all that.
As I am only too willing to show you, if you will but let me.
And Loki relents and he's like,
very well, show me.
And we shift scenes to the morning. And the sun is rising over Asgard, and the buildings are kind of glowing gold, and it's all very beautiful. And there's a giant scaffolding sort of in the courtyard. We saw that last time. It now appears to be completed, and there's like this big chopping block thing at the top, and that's obviously, you know, where Thor is supposed to get his head cut off. And we cut to the inside of Thor's cell, get a little shaft of light coming down in his cell. And we see Thor, he's still trussed up like he was earlier. And he, you know, kind of clenches his fist and starts to tug at the chains. And we then shift scenes back to Loki's chambers, which is Loki laying in bed with the concubine. And he's like, and he's waking up. And he realizes it's morning, and he gets up, and Daya's like,
my lord, did I please you, my lord?
Well enough.
Must you go?
I am ruler of Asgard. I have matters to attend, beginning with the removal of my brother's head from his shoulders. And Loki is getting dressed, and
the first thing he does is puts his helmet on, which is odd, because he's like dressed in a towel or sheet or something. And he's looking into his scrying pool, and he sees an image of Thor staring up back at him. And it's not really clear whether he's actually seeing Thor in a memory, or if this is imagined or what. But Thor's kind of saying exactly what he wants him to say, I guess.
Are we not two fine fellows, Loki? There is none our equal in all the nine worlds. Come then, give me your hand on it.
And Loki... it's going to, I don't know, he throws something in the water so it causes ripples.
Over all of the millennia, only you have ever loved me, Thor. Only you have ever looked at me with affection in place of condescension. Why, then, am I killing you and not the others?
He kind of thinks on it and he says,
because you stopped.
The voice comes from the other side of the room.
So the hour arrives.
And we see it's Hela, and Hela looking very much larger than Loki in these panels. He's kind of floating in the air. I'm gathering it's some sort of an image and not actually her there. And she's wearing her skimpy Mexican wrestler outfit again, and with her boobage hanging out and all that stuff.
I have said as much, though not to you, Hela. And the oversight wounds me. Yet I am here all the same, for naught occurs in this realm without my knowing it. The scaffold is very large, but you were ever one for vulgar theatrics. I can say the same of you, your manner of entering a room. You are brave to bandy words with me, Laufeyson, but my mood today can bear it. Today the soul of Thor is mine.
And Loki turns his back on Hela and is kind of wandering off.
Do not turn your back on me, little king. What is it that brings you here where you are not welcome? I am glad it was not want of courtesy, for clearly I find none. Answer my question, please. I came to ascertain whether your loins are girded. You were a shifting, moody creature, Laufeyson, as I have long observed.
I guess they're kind of forgetting here that Hela's supposed to be Loki's daughter.
And I shouldn't like you to lose your resolve at the last.
And the two of them are kind of staring face to face at each other. And Loki turns aside, says,
I will now dress. Stay or go as you will. Why do you refuse me your reassurance, little king? Why will you not confirm what you have boasted to so many others?
And we get another shift in scene, and we're back in Thor's dungeon again, and he's still chained up, and he's tugging at the chains, and you see his muscles bulging and all that. And we see one of the chains beginning to buckle and beginning to break, which bodes not well. And next panel, we see Loki back in his chamber, and it looks like we get a little... little nudity here, semi-nudity here of Loki. And he's calling to the guards,
Attendant, come hither!
And Hela's still kind of floating around.
You have not made reply, Laufeyson!
And the attendant comes in and says, My lord?
Come, attend me.
And I guess that gets to address him.
Yet again you turn your face from me, Laufeyson. I but go about my business. If you would not see my back, then stay fixed in one place, and flit no further about my person.
My lord, have I somehow offended?
I spoke not to you, fool. Dress me.
So apparently he can't see Hela floating around.
Now this interests me, says Hela. I know nothing of courtly fashion. Are these, then, the sort of robes court etiquette requires for overseeing the execution of one's brother? Enough! I will not be harangued by any god or goddess to do that which is not my will. And is it not your will to kill your brother, Laufeyson? No. No, it is not my will. Then you have built a splendid stage upon which no one is to act. I care not, says Loki. Even a god may be driven to extremes, but despite ancestry, destiny, and the weight of the cosmos, he retains yet his power to say no.
And it looks like he has reapplied his nail polish. I'm not sure when.
Thor will bear you no goodwill for sparing him. Perhaps not, says Loki. But perhaps now that we are pushed to the ultimate conflict, we can see each other clear at last. Ah, and what will the Thunder God see, asks Hela, one who would again be his brother. We did love each other once, before the noxious insinuations of his vixen and fellows-at-arms, and before the machinations of the All-Father compelled us in opposing directions. Thor believes much evil of me because he has been bred and led to do so. I cannot fault him, for I so believed it of myself. But now, how can he doubt me?
And during all this, Loki is getting dressed in some sort of armor-type stuff.
To have his life in my hands and give it back! Damn the fates! How could he possibly doubt me?
And Hela's not real happy about this at all. And she's kind of gallivanting around with her boobs hanging out.
And is the wrath of Hela so easily dismissed, Laufeyson? Care you so little for your own life that... Thus the unhappy paradox. The trickster may trick all, save himself.
Loki's kind of heading off towards the execution stage thing, and there's a guard sleeping here, and Loki surprises him, and the guard's like, "Who dares?" And Loki's like,
"Sheathe your sword. It is I, your master."
"A thousand pardons, my lord."
"Never mind. Make haste. You will accompany me to the prison."
"Is the execution to commence so early, my lord? Most of Asgard still sleeps."
"Let them. I have better in mind for them than a display of royal gore."
"My lord, I do not understand."
"A new age, good sentry. An age of brightest gold."
"So you've said, my lord."
"But I mean different now. I mean gold untarnished by blood, molded by truth and burnished by brotherhood."
And as he says that, there's a giant boom, and the side of the castle comes bursting out, and it's clearly Thor is escaping. So the wall is kind of toppling down, and we see Thor kind of striding up, and Loki's been knocked over, and he's lying underneath some rocks, and Thor is very obviously extremely pissed, and he's got Mjolnir in one hand, and he's advancing on Loki. Beautiful, beautiful page. Very, very Frank Frazetta. If not a direct copy of Frazetta, I mean, certainly incredibly inspired by Frazetta. And Thor's advancing on Loki, who's kind of laying there trapped under some rocks.
"Thor! No! No! You must hear what I have learned, what I have planned. We can defy destiny, we two. Unseat the tyranny of fate. Do not, I beg you, consign me to its power again. Do not make of me what I was."
And Thor raises his hammer and is obviously about to pound Loki in the head with it.
"My future lot and yours hinge on your next action. If there is yet mercy in you, if there ever was mercy in you."
And we have a giant splat and bolt of lightning, and we have kind of gore splashing out, and we get a big black box that says Finn. Well, Finn, yeah. The end. And that is Loki number 4. All right, so I do have a few things to say about this, obviously, as I always do. But first, we have a promo for one of our friends.
The dawn of an age. The founding of a family.
You know we haven't done enough research into the effects of cosmic rays.
We've got to take that chance.
Conditions are right tonight. Let's go.
Penetrating the ship. Our shielding isn't strong enough.
I feel like I'm burning up.
Too heavy.
Can't move.
Too heavy.
We're all alive.
I feel so strange.
You're fading away. I can't see you at all anymore.
Look what's happened to you. You're changing.
Oh, Reed, not you too.
What happened to me? To all of us?
I can fly.
We gotta use that power to help mankind, right?
And so was born the Fantastic Four.
For soon the Mole Man will have the entire world in his power.
I am the mightiest living mortal on Earth. And half mankind shall feel that might.
The Fantastic Four. Little do they dream they're the palms in the hands of Dr. Doom.
The Human Torch will be the Puppet Master's next victim.
You Earthlings can't change the way I can.
I've been expecting you, for I am the Thinker.
I vow never to return, my lord, until the Fantastic Four are no more and the planet Earth is no more.
You're in the presence of the awesome Ravatots, King of Kings, Master of Men, and Lord of the Seven Suns.
Fool, you're just a muscular freak, blind or Hulk.
Stop! You must not enter the castle of Diablo.
My journey has ended. This planet shall sustain me until it has been drained of all elemental life. So speak, Galactus.
Flame on!
It's clobbering time!
The Fantastic Four, from the very beginning, witness the origins of a legend. The Fantastic Forecast, ffcast.libsyn.com.
And we are back. So once again, I don't have a whole heck of a lot to say about this book. It's always the ones that are really strong and stand up really well that I don't have quite as much to say about. I don't have anything to make fun of. I mean, this is a really great book, especially artistically. I think this is really the book probably that made Esad Ribic's career. I mean, some of the magnificent stuff that he's done since then. But here we have, you know, Esad Ribic, you know, in a slightly earlier phase of his career. I think one of the things that I keep noticing throughout this Loki series is the huge debt that Ribic owes to Frank Frazetta. And this is shown in his composition, in the way he draws figures, in the way that he does these rather, I don't know, opaque faces that you get sometimes in this series. And it's not just, you know, from far off either. I mean, sometimes even, you know, Loki close up or Thor close up, you have these kind of blank faces. That's definitely something that Frazetta would have done. It's definitely something that, you know, is obvious, you know, people like John Jusko or, you know, trying to think of some of the other Earl Norum, you know, some of the people who did lots of paperback covers in the 70s, that was the sort of trick that they would use. And so this is really, really cool stuff here from Esad Ribic. Story, once again, really strong. There's one thing that it rubs me a little bit the wrong way about the story, and it's not taking anything away from the series as a whole necessarily. I don't like the way the story ends. I understand what he was going for here. He wanted this abrupt ending. This is it. Bam. Loki's dead or whatever. You know, it's not really stated Loki's dead. It's, you know, it could have been anything, you know. But that's the impression that we're supposed to get from the series. And rightfully so. I mean, you know, Loki is kind of working himself up into changing his mind and doing the right thing, letting Thor go, trying to mend fences with his brother, and all of a sudden he's smashed in the face with Thor's hammer. And I get it. And it's a strong ending. But strong isn't necessarily something that, I don't know, you know, it's not necessarily something that's going to rub me the right way. I don't hate it. I mean, I don't even really dislike it. I think that overall the series is great. But the ending, I think, to me, is probably one of the weakest points. I mean, they could have had, I don't know, a little more something, but I understand what they were going for. And I guess that's really all I can say about it. And the other thing that I noticed that is less than satisfying as far as I'm concerned is that we have a major unresolved plot line here. And other than this major unresolved plot line, that's a pretty neat story. It's kind of wrapped up and tied up in a bow, and you know, but we have this story of Farbaudi, who, you know, we see as a hooded character from Jotunheim, slowly making her way to Asgard to confront Loki, and she shows up at the end of issue 3, and then we see her for a couple pages at the beginning of issue 4, and then she's just written out. There's no payoff to this long journey. It's unsatisfying. And is it supposed to be unsatisfying? I don't know. It just, again, it doesn't work for me. All right. So with that, that's about it for this episode, folks. Once again, thanks very much for listening. And if you want to email the show, you can do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also join us on our Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and look for Radio Free Asgard, and you will find us. All right, so now I'm off, and I'm going to do a little bit more vacation planning. And then before we know it, it'll be time to do another one of these shows. So hope you all have a great week, and we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.